Okay, we are picking up from the Gemara, 9 lines from the top of Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored, Lui Lenashmas, Shulamis Bas Yaakov, the Neshama Shel Naliyah. We're continuing in the discussion of Bar Kapara. So the Gemara continues and relates that the Bar Kapara was not originally invited to. The Gemara seems to say that there is another Suda that he was invited to. So some may be Taina, maybe it's talking about Sheva Brachlis. Maybe invite him to a big Sheva Brachlis part, whatever it was. Bar Kapara was then invited to another Suda. And Amar Le Bar Kapara, the Bar said to Rebbe, again, 9 lines from top, and Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Bar Kapara said to Rebbe's daughter, the day before the Simcha, Lamachar Shazina Chamra Berikuda Davuch Verikana De Imach. Tomorrow I'll drink wine with your father's dancing and your mother's singing. So that's a very big question. What do you mean over here? Uvi Yerkane De Imach, that your mother's singing. We have a concept of Kol Be'isha Erva. This is Kol Isha. This is Usher to hear a woman singing. So there's a lot of different explanations over here. The Ben Yoda explains that the singing actually wasn't actual singing, but like a high-pitched, without any words, like type of, sounded like a nigud. I don't know exactly how this is. I don't even know exactly what it was. But apparently, Ben Yoda, this is Ben Ishchai. The Ben Ishchai is the Ben Yoda. He tainas that this was a minhag, like dates way back. And the Midrash seems to say it's the wedding of Yaakov and Rachel had this type of singing. And that's not in the issue of Kol Isha. Okay? I don't know exactly how that works. Others say maybe she was really playing. She wasn't really singing. It's a little dochak because she was just playing an instrument that sounded like it was, people thought it meant singing, but it really wasn't. These answers are a little bit dochak. I mean, it does definitely seem to be an issue of Kol Isha Erva. I wonder, I didn't have a chance to double check. There's a famous tshuva from the Sri Deish is a famous tshuva where he tries to at least partially defend. It's more, I think the one that I saw at least, people say, oh, the Sri Deish is Mekel and a woman singing Zmiras in front of men. That's not at all seeming the tshuva that I saw. He was trying to defend the minhag and try to melamed schus, not defend. Melamed schus in the minhag is different than saying that it's okay. Similarly, like the famous Aruch HaShulchan, where he talks about women who don't cover their hair. So he's trying to melamed schus. Obviously, when melamed schus in Klaizel, he's not actively, if you ask Aruch HaShulchan, should my wife cover her hair? I think that would question the Aruch HaShulchan would say yes. And I think also this radiation would say that you shouldn't have women sing in front of men, even Zmiras. But I could be wrong about that, but that's the tshuva that I saw. Anyway, I was wondering if he brings this as one of the rayas, that maybe she was singing Zmira, so it's not really fully us, or you'd have a raya from the Gemara. I don't know. I didn't see anyone bring this down. I was just wondering, maybe we could tie in as such a thing. But at the end of the day, most of the poskim are mafmir, even on a woman singing in front of Zmira. So again, in front of an erva, in terms of people she's not related to, that might be different shiloh about in family situation, but in front of others, people she doesn't know, to sing even Zmiros. It's a big shiloh. So the Gemara says, anyway, biter. So the Gemara says, Ben Elasha, chasnid Rabbi Abba. Ben Elasha, he was a son-in-law of Rebbe. Vasher Godalaya, he was very wealthy. So the Gemara says, Azman Lebe Lula Derbishim Berebbe. So he was also there, invited to this wedding. Again, Lachor, we're talking about maybe the Sheva Brachos, whatever it was, Amar Le Bar Kapara the Rebbe. So there, Bar Kapara generally was the one who was a little like a Badchan, but he was saying different things to him. My Toeva. So he asked him, what's the word of Toeva? Now, what Pasuk are we talking about with the words of Toeva? The Pasuk says, V'ish, Asher Yishka, V'zachar, Mishka, V'isha, Toeva asu shnei mosim sum demayam ban, that the person, a man who should sleep with another man, toeva asu, that this is something which is unfortunately very prevalent today in the discussions about this. This is a beferish isur, and the Torah describes a toeva, which literally means abomination. But he was going to ask him, what exactly does this mean? So the Gemara says, kol d'amar le Rebbe da'achin hu toeva. Anything Rebbe would say to him, how to define the word toeva, parcha bar kapara, bar kapara would reject it, showing him that it's not a good proof to what the word means. Amalei pasha, so he said, you can explain it to me. Amalei, so he said to him, now, first, tasted de visayuch tarmili natla, so give your wife, come and pour me some wine, which is another shayla. That doesn't seem to be okay. It's even in Shulchan Aruch, if I remember correctly, but also to have an iser nita, someone else who is an usher, ishes ish, to pour you a cup of wine is usher. So this is another shayla. How is she allowed to give him a cup of wine? Another seemingly problem over here. Asas Rai Melei. So she came and she poured in the drink. Amar Lei the Rebbe, Kum Rakud Li the Amar Lach. So get up, and I'm going to tell you the explanation. Rebbe agreed. So what happened? What did he do? So he danced. Rebbe danced before him. Achi Amar Rachmana. This is what Hashem means. Toeva Toe Ata Ba. It's you're going after this. You're straying away and going Toe. You're mistaken in having these types of relations. You're thinking this is something which is normal, this is not normal, this is not something you should be doing. Fine. So the Gemara says, my table. So we continued in asking the Pasuk, who says also, woman has relation bestiality, but Kol Bima Lo Sitein Shechasecha letameva v'yishar lezama defne behema tereva tevelu. The lashon of tevel. What's this lashon of teva? Teva, not tevel. Teva. So here again, woman having relations with an animal, it's a type of teva. Literally means some sort of perversion, something which is not right. So Amar lei ki anyana de kadma. So he said to him also, he tried to answer him and he rejected all of his answers. So Amar lei, Bar Kappa responded to Rebbe, Yavid li de omer lach. So go give me a cup of wine and I'll tell you. Avad, so Rebbe said, okay, fine. Amar lei, Bar Kappa said to Rebbe, Tevelu tavlin yeshba. Tevel means that the tavlin, is there any spice in this relation? Meaning that the Torah is telling her, why are you having relations with a animal, which is not even true enjoyment for you, and that is something which is not should be done. Spice like lashon of like hana. So the Gemara says, Mishanya hada bia min kula bia. So what the Torah is telling us, relation with an animal different or another. Why can't you just have a normal relationship with a man? Amar lei Bar Kappa said further, what is zima? This is a reference to a person who lets his daughter have relations in a non-marriage context. A person who gives his wife to be a zayna, to have relations and not to, even if she goes to mikvah, whatever, she just she's not married. Out of the wedlock type of relations. So that is an isra deraisa of a person, altachalas biskala haznoisa, to make her a zayna. Velotizane aretz umala art zima, the land which should be filled with zima. So zima is like in a lashon of znus. And so he said, Amar lei, so Reb, what did Bar Kappa say back to Rebbe? Ivarin kenmai. So do for me as before, give me a drink and I'll give it to you. Aved, Amar lei. So he told Rebbe, what does it mean? Zohi ma. What is Zoh, this child, what is he? Meaning we don't even know who your father is because you're not even married. So therefore, it's not a problem in Yuchsin, so you shouldn't be doing this. So this is obviously, there's a lot of deeper kavanas, the Maharal, as a whole piece, Alpi Kabbalah, what exactly this inyun was going on. Basically, the gist of the Maharal is just basically saying that it was talking about that even as a Chasan and Kala, that he was giving them a subtle mussar to be careful not to to realize that the way that people act and the way that people can veer off with their taivas is something which is have to be very careful about. So the verse says, Ben Isha didn't find this amusing. He was not happy with it. Kam benafik v'isan mitaman. He left. He wasn't happy to stay there. He ended up leaving. So the verse says, my Ben Elasha. Who was this Ben Elasha? Do we know anything about him? He was the son-in-law of Rebbe. Besides for that, Tisanya lo l'chinam pizar Ben Elasha's mosav. No, we do. A brisa says that Ben Elasha, even though he was very wealthy, he used his money for good purposes, not didn't waste it on crazy things. Rather, he did it on things like on this following. El Haros spent his brush of another. This is talking about he paid thousands of dollars to get a haircut. So he ended up using the money wisely because he was showing everybody the halacha. No one knew how to get the special haircut of a Kohen Gadol. The pasuk tells us that by the Kohanim Gadolim that they would trim their heads in Yechezkel. So it means that they would trim their heads so that their hairs would line up to the base of their heads, which is actually a little bit vague. What does that mean? So how exactly we're doing this trimming? How are they cutting it? Tana ke'en lulanis. It refers to a lulanic haircut. My lulanis, what is a lulanis haircut? Amar Rav Yehuda, tasparsa yechida. A haircut that is it's a unique type of haircut. Hey chidami, amar Rav Arosho shozeh betzadi karo shozeh. The tip of this hair reaches the base of the other hair next to it. So he spent like thousands of dollars on his haircut, not for his own sake, but for that everybody should learn, and including himself, how exactly the haircut of the Kohen Gadol was. So an interesting thing that's what he understood, that's what he did. I thought maybe we could also say is that another Musar, maybe a subtle Musar as well, that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was living after the Chorban. So maybe also that he was showing all this money, showing that Mamish, that he was ready for the Geula, like he was showing that we need to know exactly how the Kohen Gadol is going to look, because it's important for us to be Meir Yavana Besamikda, showing the Amunah Shabbat, that right after the Chorban, he still believed that right away we could rebuild the Besamikda. Similar famous story with the Chavetz Chaim, that he used to have a suitcase packed, he used to have the things already packed, and Mashiach comes the next moment, he should be ready. It was level of Chavetz Chaim, that's what he really was holding, that he really felt, that's why he was always very into learning Kachim. He was very into learning Kachim, that's why, because he felt that we have to, I think it was one of the reasons he was writing Hakdamah to Mishnah Berurah, that he says, okay, we'll learn Halacha quickly through my Mishnah Berurah, and then go learn Kachim, because the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built soon, and we need to know what to do. So Baruch Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael, you have a few, not just Kachim Kolalim, but you actually have places that Mamish prepare people for Kohanim, to be ready to do the Avodah. There are places like that there are places where people could get ready to do the Avodah, so they know what they're doing. What does the Gavin Mashiach comes tomorrow? 98% of the Kohanim have no idea what to do. So it's kedai to learn the halachas. Says the Gemara, because we also believe that one of the Amamins, and Mashiach can come. Okay, anyway, that was just my side point about maybe this is why we're praising him so much, about specifically showing this halacha of the Kohen Gadol in this context. Okay, so the Mishnah also taught us of a Delas Haramuta. Just remind us, so someone is no Dimon Avushal, all the way back to the top of the Mishnah on Mem Tes, we said, if someone is no Dimon Avushal, so there's going to be Mutter B'Tzliv Ashalak, or he says, Konem Tavshil She'eni Toim, you're going to be Asar Maisa Kedera, Rach Mutter B'Ave, Mutter B'Tzer Termas of Delas Haramuta. If you say Maisa Kedera, then one would in fact be Mutter to have this Delas Haramuta, that would not be considered Maisa Kedera. That's what we're telling us from that halacha. So the Gemara says, what is this gourd that's not a Maisa Kedera? So the Gemara says, my delas amarimutza, our mashmuel kura korkazai, a type of korkazai is the name of the place, a type of gourd that they had over there. Fine. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ravashi amar delas atmuna v'remetz. It's a gourd baked in a lot of remetz. Remetz is ashes, right? The remetz over there. So Ravashi is any gourds that's baked in ashes is called the remutza gourd. Shmuel holds that specifically the ones from Karkuzai are the gourds are referring to in the Mishnah. So where it says, Eser Ravino Ravashi, Vakash Ravashi from the Breiser. Ravashi seems to support Shmuel and be against Ravashi. Rav Nechemi Omer Delas Aramamis to Delas Amitris. Armenian gourd is the same as Egyptian gourd. Kilayim imi hayivanis. They're going to be kilayim with the Greek gourds. Kilayim eremutza, and they're going to consider be kilayim with the remutza gourd. Now, the fact that the Armenian Egyptian gourd is remutza gourd is considered kilayim shows that a remutza gourd must be a specific type of gourd, like Shmuel, not simply the regular gourds, because that just means a regular gourd. So how could have kilayim by that? So therefore, this seems to contradict Ravashi, and the Gemara says you're right, Tiyufta, that we end up rejecting Ravashi based on this brisa. Says the Gemara Vayter, the next part of the Mishnah. No der b'maisa kedera, someone who says a neder asking himself anything that's prepared in a pot. Ein esra ala b'maisa risacha. His esra only for food prepared with a lot of boiling. Amarkona mirla kedera shani toim. But if he says anything which goes into the pot, asr b'chol anayse b'kedera, then anything that's generally made in a pot is going to be asr to him. Says the Gemara Tanya, we learn in a brisa. A no der min a no der kedera. Someone says a neder no der min a yored rather. No der. A no der min a yored kedera. He asrs through a neder to himself that which is goes into a pot, aser biyore le'elfes. He's going to be forbidden that which even goes to a pan. So you were saying that even what goes into a pan is going to be aser. Shekvar yared le'kedira, kodem yared le'elfes. Because the food already goes into a pot before it goes into the pan. The way they used to do it is that the food would, what they normally do, is it would later be fried in the pan. First it would be cooked in the pot for a short amount of time, and then they would fry it. Therefore, even the food that's fried in a pan is included in the category of food that goes into the pot. However, min yored le'elfes, says a neder, asring to himself that which goes into a pan, mutter miyor lekadera. That would be mutter, that which goes into a pot should be mutter. Because, if the Ran points out that this line is teaching us another chiddush, that since it's generally the way people do it, is they pre-cook the food before they fry it, still, and I would have thought that therefore it should be asr, because that's the way people generally do something. Since, however, you're not doing that, you're not putting it into, you're not going to be cooking it first, so then you would be allowed to put it into the pot. So that's going to be okay. Fine. Minanaisa b'kedera. Someone says a neder, asring, that which is finished in a pot. Mutar b'naisa b'ilfas. It's going to be put into that which is through a pan. Minanaisa b'ilfas, that which is done in a pan. Mutar b'naisa b'kedera. It's going to be mutar. Even after the food has been finished in a pot, once you place it in a pan for extra preparation, it's still not in the category of gmira ala ilfas. Rather, it would be considered okay. The food is going to be considered already finished in the pot, which is going to be mutter. Says the Braisa, Braisa says, Vaitra, noda mina yore la tanner. Someone who says that a neder, ushering to himself that which goes into an oven, ain eser elav a pot, is only usher to within with bread. Jack, what's going on? It usually refers to bread, that's loshon b'nei adam. So the Gemara says, v'im amar kol maiser tanner, like anything that goes into the oven is usher to me. Whatever you make in the oven is going to be asr to the oven. Then asr b'chol anayse b'tanur. Whatever you make in the oven is going to be asr. Even if you roast things in the oven, that would be asr based on your neder. Very good. Turning on to the next time. Now the next Mishnah tells us mina kavash. Kavash is a type of pickling, a type of preservation of a food. That way you preserve food, right? You're right, leaving it, salting it, leaving it preserved. In asr ela mina kavash el yarek. Usually they preserve it, generally preserving it by vegetables, right? That you preserve it is generally done through vegetables. Even though you could do it like meat, the Lashon B'nei Adam generally referred to preservation of kavush is referenced, it's usually to dafka vegetables. Kavush shayni to'im, however if you say any preserved food, which I'm not eating, asr b'kol kavushim, then any which way you decide to preserve it is going to be asr, not just the food generally conserved or preserved food like the vegetables, but even anything that you do, fish, meat, or anything else you preserve in that manner would be would be usher to you. Why is this different than the previous case? Because when you added in the phrase of shani toim, that what you're going to taste, the Mishnah seems to emphasize the second case, that seems to be widening, potentially may be able to widen the neder. So that's the chora we're saying. So if you say in regards to my tasting, the neder is given the widest interpretation because it just doesn't. You didn't clearly want to just indicate any preserved food, but the preserved foods of vegetables. But you meant anything that I'm eating, which includes seemingly everything which you do in that manner. Fine, mina shaluk. If shaluk is usually food which is undercooked, eino asar ela mina shaluk shel basar, specifically undercooked meat, because the generally undercooked food that you eat is meat. People usually eat meat undercooked. Shaluk shani toim, undercooked food in which regards to my tasting, asar v'chol ha-shlukim, is asar from all undercooked foods. Says the Gemara, Amar le revach abrid the revavi le revashi. Amar de kavish mai. If a person says that which is preserved should be asar to me, what's the halacha there? De shalik mai. Or if he says that which is undercooked should be asar to me, what's going to be the halacha? De tzali mai. Or that which is roasted, what's the halacha? De meliach mai. That which is salted, what's the halacha? Heichin mashma. What is implied by these lashonos? Does it include all foods in the category or just to the most common one? That's the shayla over here. So the Gemara says, Tibai, we're not sure. And Ron points out, since we don't know how to answer this question, we're machmir, not the Darim is Nishadur Esos, we're machmir to say that he included everything in this category. Says the Gemara, the next Mishnah, Minat Sli. Someone makes a neder asering that which he roasts. In asr ele minat Sli shel basar. He's asering only from eating roasted meat. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Sli shani toim. However, if you add roast, that which I'm tasting, asr b'chol tzibah, any type of roasted food he eats, even roasted vegetable, whatever he's roasting, is going to be asr for him. Mina meliach, if he makes a neder asering the salted food on him, in asr ele mina meluach shel dag, he's asr only from eating salted fish. Meliach shani toim, salted food in regards to me tasting, asr b'chol ha-meluchim, he's asr from eating all salted foods. Dagim shani toim, says fish with regards to my tasting, asr behen, bein gedolim, bein tanim. Asr large or small, doesn't matter. Bein meluchim, bein tefelim, whether they're salted or unsalted, bein chayim, bein uvushalim, whether they are raw or cooked. Because the word dag, fish, is taken to refer to a large fish, which is therefore singular. The word dagim refers to smaller fish, which are usually sold in multiple quantities, which is why it's going to be usr. So therefore, when you specify both the singular and the plural, the person applying his isr to all types of fish, large, small, salted, unsalted, every type of fish is going to be usr. Says the Mishnah Vayter. So we said again, dag dagim shani toim, asr ben regalim, ben tanim, ben meluchim, ben tefelim, ben chayim, ben mevushalim, salted, unsalted, raw, cooked, everything. Mutar betariach, trufa, vatsar, murias. However, it's been permitted to have these taris. Taris is a large fish that was usually sold, chopped small in small pieces. So you make a neder of dag and dagim, you're mutar to eat this because it doesn't refer to these type of weirdly chopped, not weirdly, different type of chopped fish. And also, fish brine. You're allowed to have fish brine, you'll be allowed to have that. Despite the fact that it has part of the fish in it, that's certainly, and that's part of the inside of the fish still, that's not what you meant in your neder. Hanoder min atzachana. So a person asers a tzachana. What's a tzachana? Is a type of mixture of small and salted fish. This tzachana, aser b'tariach turufa. He's aser to have chopped taris, and mutar b'tzir b'morias. He's permitted to have the brine and the fish juice. Hanoder mitariach, mitaris turufa, makes a neder from chopped taris, it has a gist of asr, really, mutter, betzir of morias. It's permitted to have brine and fish juice. That's the girsa that the Ran wants to fix it to. The brine and the fish juice are not asr on account of the neder to have the chopped fish because they do not contain actual pieces of fish. And that, therefore, should be mutter. That's why the Ran thinks that is the more correct girsa to be goris in the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, the Gemara Vayter, Tanya with an advice, Sarah Shimon ben Elazar Amir, Dag Shani Tayim. If someone says a fish regards to I'm tasting and use the word dag, Asr v'gdolim mutar v'ktanim. He's asr to have large fish, but he's permitted to have a small fish. Dag usually means a big fish. Daga shani toim, but daga, or neshanakeva, daga, asr v'ktanim mutar v'gdolim. It's asr specifically to fall fish, to small fish, but he would be allowed to have big fish. So dag refers to a big fish, daga refers to a small fish. So says the Gemara, dag daga shani toim, asr v'gdolim v'ktanim, or asr to have both. So this price is teaching us that when someone says dag and then daga, we do not understand him as changing his mind, rather that we specifically meant to answer all types of fish. That's what Ron says is the chiddush, why we add this price to bichla. So amrele, so we apparently see the word dag is referring to a large fish. Amrele rapapa labai, is that really true? How do I know that when you say dag, it refers to specifically a very large fish? Because the pasuk says, Vayaman Hashem dag gadol livloa es Yonah. The pasuk in Yonah, famous pasuk, which we say, that the Hashem had a large fish that swallowed up Yonah when he was thrown into the sea. The word dog was referring to a large fish over here. The Gemara says, wait a second, that Yonah davened to Hashem from the meme, from the inside of his fish. The word daga is referring to a large fish as well. So says the Gemara, halo kasha dilma palte dagadol levale dagkatan. A large fish spat Yonah out, and then he was swallowed up subsequently by a smaller fish, making it more uncomfortable for him. So this midrash actually, my son pointed out, I don't know if I even knew it, when he said it over, learned in a cheder, and he sent me part, this part of the story, and I looked in his thing, and said from the midrash, it's also probably quoting this Gemara, it seems to say the same thing over here, that the Yonah was initially swallowed by a large one, and then subsequently by a smaller one. And there he's davening, because it made it more uncomfortable for him. Okay, so says the Gemara, Ela v'hada ga asher b'yohar me'isa. The pasuk in regards to the makos, it says by makos dam, I believe, it says that daga, that all the everything that was in the Nile, that all the fish in the Nile died. So you're going to tell me k'tani me'isu g'nolam me'isu. Seems to be that Hashem was punishing the Mitzrayim that all their fish should die, not just the small ones. So says the Gemara, Ela daga mashma g'dolim u'mashma k'tanim. In the pasuk, daga can refer to both large and small fish. You're right, in the context of the pasuk, it can mean to either one. So there it meant really both. But as we mentioned time and time again, that the ikar point when it comes to nedarim is we go after Lashon B'nei Adam. So you can't bring a raya, yes or keneged, only we're not sure, and we're going to use the pasuk, as you pointed out earlier, based on the Aruch HaShulchan, that we're not sure, and people speak in vernacular, speaking in English, whatever, then you can use psukim because that's what they meant. But in general, when people are speaking Hebrew, so then how people speak is the ikar point when it comes to nedarim. Hadoner min atachana. Someone makes a neder asring tachana. So Amar le Ravina, Ravashi, Amar hare alai tichid mai. What if he says tichid? So he asked it to me. What's the halacha where? Does such a neder asr him from eating brine and fish juice, or would it not? So the Ran points out that what's the old style of the Gemara? The Mishnah told us that a neder asring tachana does not prohibit brine or fish juice. So tachana also had apparently a very strong smell that came out from the mixture over here, but the fish had a very strong fishy smell. So the word tachin in the plural form maybe implies a strong smelling item, and therefore the Gemara is wondering maybe it should be more expansive and would asr to even asr the brine and the fish juice as well. And the Gemara says actually that's a good question, Tibai, that we'll leave that question unanswered. Okay, let's just do the first line of the Mishnah. We have a very short amud tomorrow, a daf really, but so we'll do just a little bit part of the Mishnah, and then we'll pick up from tomorrow. Hanoder min achelev mutar b'kum. Someone who asrs milk on himself is permitted to have whey. Whey is the part that's it's the watery liquid that comes out of milk that they leave it in the process of making milk. That's whey. And now lately it's become very popular because they discovered there's a ton of protein and different things. People have whey all the time as like a protein thing. It's very healthy to have whey. So that's the shaila. How dairy is it? And Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, we learned about that also. Pashas Midei Rabbanan, we assume it's fully dairy. So if a person says Makban Achal V'Yisrael, then I believe, I'm not mistaken, then we would have to assume also that the whey would also be dairy. I have to double check that though. So where's Rabbi Yossi Oser Min Akum? Rabbi Yossi says, no, he also asks his whey. And, Rabbi Yossi Oser, period. Rabbi Yossi says that it's Oser. He disagrees with Tanakama. And where's going to discuss what the Yisrael Machlok is Min Akum, if someone asks from whey, Mutter B'Chalav, he'd be permitted to eat milk. Someone who asers cheese, aser ba bein melucha bein tefila. It's different all types of cheeses, salted, not salted, even though the majority of cheeses are salted, even unsalted cheeses, Aran points out, should be included. Okay, Baz Hashem will pick up with Hanodim and Abasar, and Mish Hashem on tomorrow's daf.